First Name Sports starts now.
We're kind of on a first name basis around here.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Okay, let's get started.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
Halfway home on a Thursday afternoon. Hour down, hour to play. And if you're just tuning in, thank you for giving us your ear or ears. And you might be wondering what I was up to the last 3 days. So not going to get into too much of the nitty gritty because honestly, it wasn't a whole lot that I had to do. But I had to essentially be a utility guy for the company and just provide an extra, body to help out at an event, which was not a sports commitment, but something that they needed help with. And so I was the person who offered that help. And we were in Fort Worth at the Fort Worth Convention Center for an energy conference. And we are based in Houston, so I drove round trip, left on Sunday. The thing started early Monday morning and then got back around dinner time yesterday. And I wonder a little bit about what your road trip setup is like in terms of how you get yourself through however long the ride may be. I think first and foremost, it's definitely easier if you got a passenger in the car because you can just shoot the breeze for however long you want to shoot the breeze on.
If it's the right passenger. Pretty terrible
if
it's the wrong one,
too. It's a good point. It can be horrible. So it's like there's a comfortable middle ground almost with it being just you because the passenger can't screw it up and you control your own road trip with who you talk to or what you do. So I am wondering, John Bellmer, we talked a little bit about this in show prep. I like to have phone calls still because I think that I'm a chatty person. There are a handful of people who I don't text a ton, but I will call. And, my parents are definitely like that where, check in. Texting's more for just quick check-ins as opposed to longer extended conversations. A couple of my friends who are down to have calls and, I will text as well, but it's not weird if I call them. It's not weird if they call me. And then, some older people who are family friends or, different people who don't text as much, but I like to communicate with, I'll have phone calls with. So that chewed up probably about half of the drive for me, maybe even more on Sunday going up. It was 4 hours. I probably had two and a half hours worth of phone calls. And I also think that phone calls can be productive when you have longer updates that you want to either get from someone else or give to someone else. And so for an example, my dad has been very busy most of 2023. I got one grandparent still alive and it's his mom. And he's been moving my grandmother out of her home in a retirement community down the Jersey Shore into an assisted living facility right near. Actually, my mom works at the facility and it's about 5 minutes from our home in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, my hometown. And so that was the first thing that he had to do was just physically get his mom out of the home into into the assisted living facility. But then there have been all these other weekends where it's about an hour drive from our house in South Jersey to her retirement community in down the Jersey Shore. And there have been several different trips in which he has had to then go down and clean up the house and get rid of all kinds of old clutter that just piles up. And that's not the kind of thing. I knew as much as I would have liked to have been able to help him out a little bit, I really didn't talk to him a ton the last couple of weeks because I knew that Monday through Friday he's working and then on weekends he's going down there. he probably doesn't have a lot of time to set aside and just talk to me. So I wanted to get an update on how all that was going, but there's so much there where I'd rather just have a 45 to 60 minute phone call as opposed to text him all day. And so I feel like phone calls are productive for, as I say, like longer updates when there's one subject area, or maybe two, but like one of the subject areas has so many different kind of subplots and talking points to where you just get the whole thing out in a phone call. And I don't know. I just feel like people my age don't really have phone. Why do you think that is, by the way? Why do you think phone calls are like a less common way of communicating now than 10, 15 years
because
ago?
Because texting is much less confrontational. It's much less. You can just text somebody, forget about it, move on. You don't have to deal with it in the moment.
Yeah, but you say confrontational as if that's a bad thing.
Well,
like,
it could be good or bad. Like, I just feel like texting becomes the easiest way to just reach somebody. And if it's in a especially if it's in a confrontation, like if you want to call somebody and like ask about something sensitive or whatever,
yeah,
it's much easier.
Well, I agree with that.
To text
but
about
I
that.
I just feel like that's one example of where it's easier to text, and I feel like there are countless where it's just like mainstream where people don't have phone
calls. Well, yeah, but you
can
compare that to the rest of it all. It's all easier to text somebody rather than call somebody.
I just think that
plus calls can be an annoyance. Like some people don't want to sit there with their phone on their ear when you can text me three or four different things and I don't even have to talk to you.
But like, I guess, do you understand where I'm coming from in terms of the deeper the subject material,
yeah,
the more
there is.
It's just like, why am I going to send this
long text? A real conversation, yes, happens over the phone.
Right.
We're not talking about that.
But
yet.
we're saying that phone calls aren't as common of a form, right? Like, we don't think they are.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, text messaging is the way to go. Like, okay, and I guess it's kind of a generational thing or where we've gone with technology too. Like in general with business, like we book guests here on this show.
Yeah.
When's the last time you picked up the phone and called a guest? It doesn't happen
as much.
Yeah,
but see, that's
much.
A very quick, like, hey, you come on, boom, yes, boom, no, and you move on. Like, let's stay in our field. Let's just say that, okay, you're an Astros fan. Let's say I wanted to talk to you about the Astros.
Yeah.
And you know, the state of the Astros. You and I, like, we could text about the Astros all day, or we could have a 15, 20-minute phone call and get all our thoughts out. Like, it feels like no one does that. Like, I do have some friends where it's just like, hey, let's talk Eagles. Or, you know, I told you about, like, 4-hour Zoom call. I mean, I'm a level A,
see,
level one weirdo.
It depends on how long that conversation is. Because if you want to call me and talk the Astros for 10, 15 minutes, I'm 100%
okay
with that.
Okay.
If you want to call and talk Astros for an hour, I'm going to hang up on you because I got other stuff I can do.
I get that.
While we have that conversation through text.
Through text. That makes sense. But you're not anti-phone call.
No, I'm not anti-phone call.
Time and place
call.
For it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And you understand why when I'm on a road trip by myself, I think phone calls are like, hey.
It's perfect. There's nothing
else you can do. Right.
Like, yeah.
Exactly. I also think if you are and – listen, we want you to listen to sports radio and this network all times of the day under all circumstances. But I think that listening to whether it be sports radio or sports podcasts, you get a better feel for the personalities when you're connected to them for a longer stretch. So I was listening to when I was driving back yesterday, I wanted to hear, and we're going to get to it in the next segment, I wanted to hear what they were talking about locally in Dallas after the catastrophic game 3 in which they lose 4-0 to Vegas and Jamie Benn gets ejected from the game. And again, I'll share my thoughts on it. I was at the game on Tuesday night, but I feel like you get a better feel for the pulse of the fan base and the personalities of the hosts when you're listening for 45 minutes to an hour. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel like sports radio is a particularly therapeutic and, you know, connective experience when you have a longer trip in the car. And, you know, mix in some music here and there. But, see, I think of music as the shorter car ride thing where it's like, oh, I got 15 minutes. That's 3 songs or maybe 4. And then I'm at my destination, right?
I couldn't agree with you more on that. And plus, I go with music more on a beautiful sunny day where I can roll down the windows. If it's a long road trip, I'd much rather be engaged, listening to somebody talk about something that I'm interested in, and
exactly.
Think about it, and just
stimulate the brain a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yes. The other thing that I did, which I'm curious what your strategy would be here, if you're on a road trip that is obviously long enough like this where it's 4 hours, but you know that one full tank of gas can get you to and from, will you fill up at the, like I filled up at the beginning both times and just drove straight through, or will you intentionally kind of leave without a full tank so that you have to stop like 2 hours in and just get out of the car and fill up, stretch the bones a little bit? Like, what's the thought process there?
Well, I have to stop and, you know, stretch the bones and go to the restroom and get a snack regardless. Sure. But I will always fill up at the beginning, especially if I can make it on a full tank.
Oh, so you'll fill up at the beginning, even if you can make it on a full tank, but then also stop still?
Yeah. I'll stop and get a drink. Like, if I'm like, you know what, I could sip on, you know, a Diet Coke right now.
See, I went straight through the 4 hours both times. I filled up. And then just 4 hours rocking and rolling, and it did feel good getting out of the car, stretching out a little bit afterwards. But, you know, I if I got a long trip, I don't like to stop just to stop. If I don't need that stretching break or that food break, then I'm probably not going to take it. So, by the way, didn't feel as humid in Fort Worth as it is here. I guess.
Well, yeah, we're closer to the Gulf.
Yeah,
we have a lot more humidity down here.
God,
for sure.
I mean, I was like, man. Feels pretty nice here. This isn't what I'm used
to. Don't switch on me now. Don't end up in Dallas.
No. I'm just saying, well, trust me. You know how I feel about their football team. So those feelings aren't changing. Take a timeout, and we'll come back. Let's talk more about the hockey team in Dallas as the Dallas Stars face elimination against the Vegas Golden Knights. Game 4, Western Conference Final tonight at American Airlines Center. I was at Game 3 as we'll share some thoughts on this series, which is 3-0. For the Golden Knights, Willie Ramirez from the Associated Press is going to join to talk about this series as well.
You're back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
3-0, the Vegas Golden Knights lead the Western Conference Final on the Dallas Stars in the National Hockey League. And we actually haven't really talked about this series at all because the first game was on Friday. Of course, maybe the weekend, and then I was gone until today. Game 2 was on Sunday, Game 3 Tuesday, and Game 4 tonight in Big D. And the first two games sure felt a little similar just in terms of competitiveness to Florida and Carolina. Certainly, I think some more speed with Vegas for sure. And some more skill up front with Dallas. Like, I don't think that the East Final had as much punch up front, and that's kind of how those teams, Florida and Carolina, need to play to be successful. I think that Dallas and Vegas were both more complete teams in terms of goaltending, defense, and forwards. But I think that in both cases, it was the first time ever, by the way, in the NHL in which the first four games of the conference finals, the two in the East and the two in the West, all went to overtime. Obviously, you had the four overtime marathon in Raleigh in game one for the Panthers, and then they win game two a lot earlier in overtime. And it was two very quick overtime game winners for the Vegas Golden Knights on their home ice. And so it's 2-0, and you know, you felt Dallas was still very much in it because it was a pair of overtime games. And Dallas, at the end of regulation in game one, found an equalizer and then had a lead late in game two. And Jack Eichel, that play he made behind the net to, it looked like he had eyes in the back of his head to find Jonathan Marchessault for a pretty good scoring chance, which Marchessault buried to tie the game for Vegas late in the third period on Sunday afternoon. That was a ridiculous play for Eichel, and it's crazy how this is working out for Jack Eichel, who Obviously got drafted to the Buffalo Sabres in 2015. He was the runner-up in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes as Buffalo had ended up with the number two pick, and everybody knew that it was going to be McDavid 1, Eichel 2. And now here's Eichel almost a decade later with a new team, nearly played McDavid, he did in the second round, and eliminates him and the Oilers, and now Eichel, an integral part of what the Vegas Golden Knights do. So that's an interesting plot line to follow here for the Knights. But a great pass. Marchessault buries it. They go up 2-0. But even still, I'm thinking, because I was, as I said, in Fort Worth Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I actually got there on Sunday night. And I got a connection of mine hooked me up with tickets for Tuesday night. And I went in thinking that Dallas was going to win the game. Because I didn't expect, I don't think anybody really expected what happened on Tuesday night to be, if you told me Vegas was going to win another close game, okay, I could see that. But Marchessault scores very early in the game, and it's 1-0. But then obviously the entire game was defined by a match penalty, a major for cross-checking on Jamie Benn, which I didn't have the best look of from where I was sitting. But Jamie Benn, who's widely considered a pretty down-to-earth, you know, he's a captain, which, you know, in hockey, you get the C on your sweater. Widely considered a locker room guy, a good team guy. And this wasn't like it was a 5-0 game and one of those frustration things. It's 1-0 early in the first period. And Mark Stone goes down, and then Benn cross-checks Stone in, like, the throat area, leading with his stick. And it's just a very malicious play. And he is ejected from the game, and he is suspended for tonight and either game 5 if Dallas wins or the first game of next season for the Stars. He got a 2-game suspension. And Dallas nearly kills off the 5-minute major. I think Vegas scored twice very quickly at the end of the power play, because if you're not familiar with how it works, on a major penalty, the team that goes on the power play can score as many times as they want. They're guaranteed the 5 full minutes of power play time. And I think Vegas failed to score the first 3.5, 4 minutes of it, but then the Knights get 2 before the penalty expires. And 1-0 becomes 3-0. The third goal is one that Jake Oettinger probably should have had. And so Vegas goes up 3-0. And at that point, it's still early enough in the game. Like, there's enough time on the clock to where Dallas, yes, while was playing from behind, could have chipped away. You get it 3-1 even after 2. You're saying, okay, maybe we still can find a way to scratch and claw our way into it in the third period. And it felt like the opposite happened. Like, Dallas just kind of went away. They didn't have they ended up with 30-some shots on Tuesday night, but it wasn't a lot of high-danger chances. Vegas was doing a good job of just keeping the Stars to the outside, not allowing them to get to the prime scoring areas in the offensive zone. And I believe it was Pietrangelo scored for Vegas to make it 4-0, and that was still middle of the second period. And I'm sitting at the game thinking this game's over, because the Stars didn't show any real sign of life. And sure enough, 4-0, halfway through the game, that's just your final score. So it was a very bizarre and disappointing night for the Dallas Stars, and not just for the players. Their fans get rowdy and mad at the end of the second period, and they're throwing concessions onto the ice, bracelets onto the ice. They had to stop the end of the second period to clean off the ice and just carry over 21 seconds to the third period. It was a real bad night for the Dallas Stars, and an unexpected one. Because when you watched those two games in Vegas, you thought both these teams are right there with each other. This is a neck-and-neck series. Even though it's 2-0 Vegas, Dallas can go home on its home ice and at least win Game 3 and have us all very much invested in Game 4. And instead, it went the other way, where the Stars played their worst game of the series. Their captain made a wildly uncharacteristic mistake and is now suspended tonight and a Game 5 if we have one. And the thing seems like it's over. So, Vegas deserves a lot of credit for being able to play that kind of a road game where even before the major penalty, they had already scored. And so they got up 1-0 pretty quickly, capitalized with the power play, and then did a good job of just playing a good defensive sit-on-lead type of game. But at the same time, I looked at Dallas on Tuesday night and I thought, what was that? I mean, how do you just not only start the game the way you started the game, but really not much life at all as the game progressed when the clock, you know, still had a lot of time left on it? Like I said, 3-0 after one, and then certainly when it was 4-0, you're like, this game's over. And surely enough, it was. I suppose, selfishly, it was a little easier getting out of American Airlines Center on Tuesday night because the building was probably half full by the time the end of the game. I am not a leave-early guy. Belmer, are you? Right?
Oh, no.
You're at the game.
Because if anything crazy happens and I left, I won't let myself.
That's a story you don't want to tell.
Yeah, I won't forgive myself.
Exactly.
For sure.
So, Vegas is a wagon. And the Stars went away on Tuesday night. And I don't know, maybe there's a we don't want our season to end on home ice vibe that the Stars, you know, are able to, you know, muster up tonight and they can win one. But I'd be shocked if this thing got back to Dallas for a game 6. I'll tell you that. Willie Ramirez from the Associated Press on the other side. He covers Vegas sports out there in Sin City. He'll join in to talk more about their team and the good things going with the Golden Knights, who are one win away from the Stanley Cup final. That's next. First Name Sports, Sports Up Radio.
You're back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Greg Frank.
Well, you know, sometimes in our industry, you have to pivot when guest conflicts arise. And this is actually a pretty easy pivot for us, as Willie Ramirez is now going to join in the final segment of the show, as our guest covers all the Vegas teams, which, you know, there's a lot more of them. It feels like there's A's are coming, and you got the Raiders there, and the Knights were there first, and I don't know if he does any UNLV coverage, but regardless.
The Aces as well.
Oh, yeah, right, WNBA. So they're obviously it's a growing sports market. And the Raiders are in the headlines a little bit this week in light of some comments and weird vibes between Devontae Adams and the higher-ups with the organization. And Willie Ramirez is at a press conference in which he was going to do the radio hit from with us and talk Knights. And then Devontae Adams was going to talk to the Vegas media. And Devontae Adams showed up 40 minutes early. And so he's going to talk to Devontae Adams, and we'll be able to get some juicy stuff, depending on what Devontae Adams lights up with at this press conference. Anyway, if you haven't if you haven't seen the story, Devontae Adams kind of just gaslighted the Raiders organization in a lot of ways and was not happy with the way they run the team. And it felt like, to say the least, there is some bad blood or some frustration on Adam's part towards the Las Vegas Raiders. And it's only been a year, but Adam seems to have figured out what a lot of people already know about a team that employs Josh McDaniels is that they are mostly dysfunctional and can't get out of their own way, particularly when McDaniels is the head coach. And the funny thing about this is that Josh McDaniels, rather than say, oh, it's being addressed internally or something, because usually you, if you're the front man for the organization, which is usually what the coach is, he's the most forward-facing figure in the organization, somebody that always does media availabilities and press conferences and things like that. You don't hear as much from general managers and owners. And McDaniels has been in this business enough to where you would think he would have known to kind of just play it down the middle and again, give the coach speak, handling it internally. We're looking forward to a strong second season with Devontae and Silver and Black or something, and move on. But when you listen to what he's saying, he's basically just kind of like, yeah, you know what? Adams has every right to tell us we don't know what we're doing. Here was Josh McDaniels. I guess this was yesterday or earlier in the week.
Devontae and I have talked. I mean, I don't really, it's not really my concern that anybody necessarily adopts, you know, every vision that Dave or I have for, you know, the decisions that we have to make. Sometimes those are difficult. The thing I'd say about a player like Devontae, and we have many other players in the same category, is they have an opinion and a voice because they've earned it. And I respect the hell out of anything that they would say or suggest or anything like that during the course of the process of trying to improve our team, which I know where Devontae comes from. He's a competitor. He wants to win. And that's really his sole focus.
Okay. On the surface, as fans of the sport, we can sit here and say, yeah, Devontae Adams is maybe probably the best player on the Raiders. But it's not exactly the best look when the coach is just like, well, yeah, they've earned that right. You know, they can have their opinion. So then does the 53rd man that makes the roster, you're basically saying, yeah, you're not as important. And we all know that, but you can't say that when you're the coach of the team. You're basically saying that there's a different set of rules here. And yeah, Devontae Adams, if he wants to take a dump on us and how we run things, and if he wants to vent about things he's not happy about, he can go ahead and do that. And, you know, we've talked. Everything's great. You know, I'll have a one-on-one meeting with him. But, you know, the special teamer that just gets on the roster, I won't talk to him one-on-one, and he can't have an opinion. Like, that's not a good message that you're conveying as the head coach of a football team. Even if it may be true. Again, don't get in front of a microphone and talk about how, you know, Devontae Adams, he's earned this reputation and he can gaslight our own organization and we'll talk about it. Because, again, that's a very easy way of insinuating that there's a different set of rules for different players on the Vegas Raiders depending on what they've accomplished in their careers. And that's not how you're supposed to run your football team. It's all supposed to be, and what do we talk about all the time? With these playoff teams, Florida Panthers and Denver Nuggets, these teams that are seemingly, you know, heat culture, you know, put together well in locker rooms, and everybody kind of knows their role, and the whole operation meshes well, the puzzle pieces come together. You don't have that when you're just coming out and saying that one guy's more important than most of the rest of the roster. And by the way, it really does. And maybe Adams is pissed over the way it ended with Derek Carr there, because I'm sure that that was a big driving force behind his desire if he was going to get traded. Like, it sounded like he wanted to go play with Carr and be a Raider. And that was his college teammate. And obviously, it's not just like Devontae Adams was a safety and Carr was a quarterback, like at Fresno or something. Like, they were wide receiver quarterback connection in college. So maybe he's mad about how that ended and is now saying, hey, I didn't sign up to play with Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be the quarterback for that long. I mean, I think he got a 3-year deal, and, you know, plenty of talk in the months leading up to the draft about the Raiders still taking a quarterback. So I'm sure he's annoyed about that. But I don't know, man. Like, if I'm Devontae Adams, he must have really loved Derek Carr, because you know McDaniels has not had a good reputation in terms of his ability to lead a locker room and be a head coach in the NFL. It didn't work out in Denver, and it took a while for his name to even come up again in head coaching vacancies. And then look at what happened in Indy, where he was hiring staff and then reneged on the job offer and went back to New England. So this has long been a guy that has been a little flaky and that has seemed to thrive more in the behind-the-scenes coordinator role and not been able to do the duties of a head coach. And last season with the Raiders, remember, that was a team under Rich Bisaccia who took over amidst the John Gruden stuff, and they dealt with some Henry Ruggs stuff. Rich Bisaccia got them to the playoffs, and they had the Bengals, who ended up going to the Super Bowl, on the ropes at the end of regulation. And that team didn't have Devontae Adams. Then they get Devontae Adams, and they don't make the playoffs, but they were never really in the playoff hunt, even if they popped up on the in-the-hunt playoff graphic at the end of the, you know, in November and December. I think we knew not to take the Raiders seriously. So, yeah, it looks like more of a, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm in over my head vibe from Josh McDaniels. And by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo already hurt. We find out that he had surgery on a broken foot in March, and now, you know, he should be okay for the season, but I mean, we're sitting here on May 25th saying, things aren't looking great for the Raiders. Season doesn't start for 3.5 months. And we already kind of have the eulogy written for the 2023 Las Vegas Raiders. Well, Devontae Adams was pissed off 3 months before the season started, and nothing happened during the season that made him less pissed off. If anything, he's going to be more pissed off come October. So it doesn't seem like the status quo in Vegas is good right now. And Mark Davis, I mean, even look at him here. Again, maybe you didn't want to retain Bisaccia for whatever reason, but the idea that you needed this big-name guy who was the Tom Brady, you know, quarterback whisperer, and then you're going to bring in Dave Ziegler from New England to run football operations, like, I don't get why everyone always still hires Patriots guys. Like, how many more examples do we need to know if there's only one Tom Brady and there's only one Bill Belichick? Take a time out. We'll go to Willie Ramirez on the other side, and I'm sure we will talk some Raiders with him as well. But we really wanted to get him on to talk Vegas Golden Knights as they try and punch their ticket to the Stanley Cup final tonight and complete the sweep of the Dallas Stars. Willie Ramirez to wrap up the show. Sports Map Radio, First Name Sports.
Back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
Okay, before we get to our guest, let's shout out our friends at Total Wine & More. With so many bottles to choose from, there is always something new to try at Total Wine & More. How about a great Prosecco for under $8 and a French Rosé for under $7? With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. We bring on Willie Ramirez from the Associated Press as he covers all the Vegas teams in Sin City. And it's good to have you aboard again, Willie. How are you?
I'm doing good. Two things. One is I can attest to Total Wine and More. Okay. There's a bottle of wine that I personally purchased, and it's into the triple figures at the restaurants I go to, but if I go in Total Wine and More, it's over 60% cheaper. Number two, I dig the comeback music. Look down at the old Jackson 5. I want you back. I think it's a sign that you wanted me back on with you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're a regular for us when it comes to the Vegas teams. And, you know, it's funny. We had you on to talk Knights, and then I was filling out my rundown today, and I see this Jimmy Garoppolo with the foot, but also the Devontae Adams stuff with the Raiders. He calls him out, and then McDaniels is kind of like, yeah, you know, he's earned that right. You know, he gets to say what he wants. I don't know if that's a great message for a head coach to say that the star player can kind of light the team under, but then other players, you know, maybe don't have that profile. So what do you make of this, you know, frustration from Devontae Adams and where we head from here with the Raiders?
Well, that message that Josh sent this morning was an answer to my question, because I had asked him. I said, you know, if you talk to Devontae, and because basically what he originally said to the first question was that, you know, he's spoken to Devontae, they have a good relationship. I was like, well, hey, when a star player has that kind of thought process and you have an open dialogue, it's good to get it out now in May rather than in August, I would imagine, so you know what's going on. And he said, absolutely, that's when he said he's earned that right as the player he is. Just now we talked to Devontae less than 5 minutes ago, and basically Devontae was like, look, I spent the first month or so when Aaron Rodgers was trying to make a decision what he was going to do. So he was toying with the media. He was putting teases out there. He was saying how great. But the thing is, why wouldn't he? When he played 8 years with him in Green Bay, of course he's going to say that it would be great to bring in Aaron Rodgers. Of course he's going to say one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time that he had a long tenure with would be a good fit with the Raiders. Why wouldn't he say those things? So when he said, I didn't even know they were going after Jimmy Garoppolo, or he was on the radar. So when they brought him in, I just didn't see eye to eye, meaning that wasn't my thought process.
Yeah.
They got rid of the guy that who was the face of the franchise and the reason that I came here.
Right.
Then they didn't bring in the guy that I spent 8 years with. So that's basically the truth. It's just when a tweet, a quote, a text, a social media, it gets taken out of context, there's more to the whole story, and they both sort of ironed it out. And I believe both of them, because you know what? Since Devontae's been here since last year, he's been fantastic, and I don't think he's ever held back.
So it sounds like, and I wondered that too, if there wasn't some, you mentioned them not bringing in Aaron Rodgers, but also I felt like going back to March of 2022 when Adams did end up with the Raiders, that part of the reason he wanted to end up there was to reunite with Derek Carr from their Fresno State days. So it did seem like maybe some of this was just some, hey, the star player that picked the Raiders now is a little disappointed with the offseason that was, and time heals all wounds, and this will be okay by training camp?
Yeah, and I want you to think about something. This dude played his quarterback in high school was Steve Bono's son. Okay, from there, his quarterback in college was Derek Carr. In Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. The Raiders, Derek Carr, for a brief minute, right? They had two games. This will just basically be his third starting quarterback since he graduated high school. Mm. He went from Carr to Rodgers to Carr to his third starting quarterback since he was in high school. That's like 13, 14, 15 years ago. So, you know, it's different, but it's a new challenge. And I think that, you know, and one thing that we noticed today at OTAs was that the Raiders seem to be, I mean, you can't really tell much and it's day one, I get it, but they just seem to be in sync with every drills and going from station to station. And it just seemed like we were on our last week of OTAs and getting ready for mini camp or something. It didn't seem as if it's the first day out there. So I think there's been a lot of progressive movement with everything. And I think that they're going to be fine as far as mindset, chemistry. It's a matter of what McDaniels does with this offense.
All right, Willie, let's hit the ice as the Vegas Golden Knights look to advance to the Stanley Cup final for the second time in franchise history, with game four tonight in Dallas. What'd you make of their 4-0 win and just, you know, taking advantage of the major that Jamie Benn took in that first period and then obviously not letting the door open up for Dallas at all after that?
What it told me, and I wrote this for a media outlet that I do some freelancing for, the Sporting Tribune, in my post-game column, was this game three was not won on that goal within the first 2 minutes. It wasn't won when Jamie Benn took the major. This game three was won with 2:22 left in game two and then in overtime. Mm. When the Golden Knights tied the game after being outplayed for 55 minutes and then won in overtime, that deflated the Dallas Stars because at the same time, it just breathed even more confidence and life into a Golden Knights. And I told another reporter here today, she actually is a hockey expert for a local radio network here, Lindsay. I was telling her, I was like, you know, these guys are like sharks in the water, and they're smelling the blood. And when they attack, it's relentless. And I think right now they caught Dallas at a weakness. I think we saw that Golden Knights were in Dallas's head, and that's why Jamie Benn did what he did. They're not just in the Dallas Stars' head. They're in the fans' head. I mean, they have to shut down the second period.
Yeah, I was there.
21 seconds left. So I just, you know, Greg, I think it's a mental game at this point, and I think the Golden Knights, they're not doing – what they did with the Edmonton series with Evander Kane and the other guys. I mean, you saw Alex Pietrangelo take a slash and get suspended.
Right.
They're not letting anybody get under their skin. So they're playing a cool, calm, and collective. We didn't see retaliation from Keegan Colas, all right? We just saw an outright calm game, and they just played stuck to their guns. Now who's under the pressure? It's Dallas.
So, 100%.
I think it goes beyond the skill and the ice and the depth. I think it's a mental game at this point. I think Vegas has the edge.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it just feels like, you know, I know they didn't make the playoffs last year, but this is most of a lot of these guys, and the crazy thing is not all of them were Vegas, there's not many Vegas originals from the team that went to the Stanley Cup final in 2018, but there's a level of comfort in their own skates in these games where you mentioned their composure and their ability to just kind of go about their business and not allow the moment to get to them. And I think that's a sign of how mentally tough they are and how comfortable they are in these big spots because so many players for the Knights have played in all these big games.
Right. And what's amazing is like the new faces that are here, they've actually built a rapport. I mean, the newest guy, is probably Barbashev that they brought in at the deadline. And then realistically, the rotation in the net. I mean, before he got here, I don't think there's a Golden Knight fan that knew who that dude was. And you would think that they would know from the enemy territory of San Jose. So this, even Jack Eichel, because of coming in and having the surgery and sort of just being around the locker room when he was rehabbing after that surgery in November of 2021, and building relationships then, and he was sort of just looking for a place to belong. I mean, the conversations that I've had with him off the record, just looking for a place to sort of belong where he was misunderstood in Buffalo.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that helped a lot of the chemistry. The one thing you heard, if you remember back in 2018, what was the common denominator was the misfits. They weren't wanted, and they came together as a team of guys that were outcasts from their previous teams. That's not what this team is, but what they are is a team that has come together after missing the playoffs last season for the first time in franchise history, albeit 5 years, and they've now come together. The locker room is very similar to the previous one for different reasons, and it's that chemistry that sort of helped this team. And that's why you're seeing on certain nights, if Stone and Eichel don't score, they're assisting or they're leading in other ways and helping the other guys get better. The fourth line sometimes is the shutdown line or the offensive line.
Sure. There he is, Willie Ramirez, Vegas sports writer for the Associated Press, kind enough to join us on the Progressive Guest Line. Willie, thank you for your time, and maybe enjoy some Total Wine this weekend.
You got it. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. That is going to wrap things up for us on the show on this Thursday afternoon, as we shall see if we get either one of these playoff series extended. Game 5 tonight in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. Boston trailing Miami 3-1 as the Heat will try again to close it out. I don't think Boston is going to force a Game 6. I like the Heat to win tonight. I don't know. Are the Stars really just going to lay down after Game 3? I could see them winning tonight. It's just something about Dallas prior to Game 3. Game 3 was a disaster, but they were right there the first two games. They were very good in the second round against Seattle. I think they'll find a way. We'll find out tomorrow, though, as we'll be on the air to wrap up the week, an abbreviated week for us, but we'll do it again tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 to 3 Central. Thanks to John Bellmer for producing, as always. and, of course, our guests, Doug Plagans and Willie Ramirez. My name is Greg Frank. Sports Kings is up next. Signing off. First Name Sports, Sports Map Radio.